This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Hour 2 of the program. Joel Nelson is behind the glass taking your calls at 412-928-9370. It's the same number as the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And a big thank you to our sponsors. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. Tune in for the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown tomorrow night, 11:35 KDKA. We have Iron Rock Tap House, a great place to watch games out in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, as well as Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And we will be taking calls here for the next hour, and we have a lot to get into. I mentioned load management. If you have a story about that, that's an NBA thing that's driving ticket holders and ticket buyers really crazy. It happened last night in Cleveland where Golden State played there. One and only time this year, Golden State, one of the marquee teams, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all those guys, John Wiseman, none of them played because it's load management. They played the night before, so they weren't going to play. When you buy a ticket, beware. Don't get the back end of a back-to-backers. Yeah, especially in the NBA, because you may not see anyone of your favorite. Cleveland didn't even play Donovan Mitchell, and then Cleveland still lost somehow with all those guys out for Golden State. So, still a good game, but you don't get to see your superstars. How much of a concern is that for the NBA? We're also talking about the return of Andrew McCutchen, what it means, if anything, to the Pirates longer term. I think it's two separate issues. It's a feel-good story. He's here. That's great. He was the face of the franchise, and it's good he's back. He can have an effect tangibly and intangibly on some of these guys on this roster. But as far as moving them closer to winning, I don't think it does much there. I don't. They need to do some other things. They need to have guys come up from their system and become quickly established into their not only rotation, but their starting eight other than the pitcher. Got four great games today. Jacksonville, Kansas City. Believe it or not, Joel, I'm going to pick Jacksonville to win the game outright. I'm going to be one of those outliers. I've been riding Jacksonville for the second half of the season. I thought they'd win last week. Certainly not the way they won last week, but they won. Kansas City sitting there as the team that everybody expected. You got to give Andy Reid a lot of credit, by the way. Andy Reid has been terrific in terms of, you know, he went to five NFC championship games in Philadelphia, and now he's led them to the past four, and this could be five. That's 10 championship games, five in each conference. How many guys do that? 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the phone lines. Larry has been patient waiting. Larry, thank you. What's going on? How are you?
Hello.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, it's Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Bob, I'm not going to congratulate you on your 40 years. I'm just going to say I appreciate you being there in year 41.
Thank you, Joe. So do
you
I.
You know, you don't do all the hype like some of the other guys on 93.7 The Fan, but, you know, that's their thing, and you do your thing, and it's appreciated. But to the sports, you know, these games this weekend in the NFL, they should usually in the divisional round you start getting some blowouts, but I think they're all good games, and I wouldn't be shocked by any result, you know. Nobody would have believed that Jacksonville would have started their run with a overtime come from behind win over Dallas, and they haven't lost since.
By the way, they've come from behind big deficits to good teams, 17 points and more, which is
I saw one of the all-time halftime trivia on ESPN last night that Trevor Lawrence has never lost on Saturday,
right.
High school, college, or pro.
This might be the day, though. Although I don't think so. I'm gonna roll with him.
Yeah, he's playing three games in a row on Saturday. But on to, told your man there, Joe, about the reason for my call was about the Pirates' payroll. And I was shocked to see, actually, that I guess the ending payroll was $71 million, still in the bottom five. And so it's got to be more than that this year. One of these days, they'll top my goal for them, $100 million. But then again, is that due to inflation, you know? And I think the Pirates mimic society. They've got a supply chain issue, and that's good players. Andrew McCutchen, I think it's great, but I think it would mean more if he were on a good team and was just one additional piece. If he's still there, productive in 2 years when they're supposed to be good, that'll be a great story. You know, they've added all these veterans. You got to figure, what did they win last year? 61 games? You got to figure there'll be some improvement this year.
Yeah, I guess. To me, it's a results business. I want to see results, and I want to see, and I realize where they are. So they are rebuilding. So they are slowly rebuilding. I'd like to see a quicker rebuild. And quite frankly, Joe, they need all of these guys who they're counting on to make marquee improvement this year and come up here and play. Not unlike what we saw with O'Neill Cruz. Others have got to do the same. And I'm most hopeful for their pitching. Their pitching has a lot of potential talented guys. They're working their way up. They need to be here at some point of this year. And then by the end of the year, you have to say, these are going to be our next five starters next year. We know already. Here they are because you saw it,
I agree. And, just one other thought, since the Pirates do a lot through the draft and they've had these top picks, I mean, how many years is this going to be where they either had the number one pick or the number three pick or four pick or what, a top five, six pick, whatever it is over these last number of years. And some analytical guy said that if you're not hitting on your top two picks, where that the vast majority of your starting lineup, maybe three-fifths of your pitching staff and your key reliever, if those aren't coming from your top two picks, and that doesn't mean you might find the Tom Brady of baseball somewhere or the Brock Purdy of baseball somewhere, down there in the trap, but it seems like the Pirates have a history of not hitting on those picks.
No, you got to do it, absolutely. When you get him that high, even beyond that, you're right. You got to come up with a diamond in the rough somewhere who's in the 20th round, somebody who you didn't expect. But, Joe, thanks for the call, man. I really do appreciate it, and thanks for the kind words. So, Joel, do we have Larry, or did I mess that up? No Larry. Okay, let's go to Jerome, who joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Jerome, what's up?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Papiani.
Just call me Bob,
opinion,
Jerome.
In my opinion, I think Steelers should draft Jordan Addison with the 17th pick and trade Deontay Johnson. And so Jordan Addison and Kenny Pickett could reunite. What do you think about that?
I would like the reunite part of it. Thank you, Jerome. I appreciate it. I'm good to get the younger callers up there. You call anytime, and please call me Bob next time, not Mister. That makes me feel older than I am. But I would like that. I don't know about the 17th overall pick, and I don't know that they're going to trade Deontay Johnson. I don't. First of all, they know his salary going in. That could be a detriment in terms of what you'd get in return. You're certainly not going to get a second-round pick like they got for Chase Claypool, so kudos to Omar Khan for that extra pick, which is like a late first-round pick. But I think you'd like to add to that group, and I'd also like to see more scheming so that Deontay Johnson's on the move. Kenny Pickett has shown me accuracy that I like. You can get a lot more yards after catch with him. I'm not going to do that. I'd like to add to that group. I think they will. I don't know about if Jordan Addison's there versus a really strong offensive tackle that I may need. The trenches cannot be ignored. They got lucky last year when they had five guys play every single down, basically, and they didn't need depth. They need depth eventually, and you need better guys. Dan Moore's a good player. He's shown me to be a good player. You can get a stud over there, and if you do, he becomes a good swing guy, and the depth helps you. But, I like Jordan Addison. I just don't know if that should be the play in the first round. Now, having said that, a lot of people in Cincinnati, I'll go back to that because, Joel, I remember talking about this. They had the third, I think, overall pick and they need a big-time offensive lineup. This is after the year where Joe Burrow got ACL surgery because his offensive line just got him hammered, not unlike what Dave Carr had when he was with the Houston Texans. 76 sacks in 1 year. So, you know, you can say people were in outrage. You did not take an offensive lineman with your first pick, and you need offense. You instead go to a wide receiver. You already had Higgins. You already had Tyler Boyd. They wanted Jamar Chase. Why? Because he had some sort of relationship. Plus, he's just a dynamic player. What better way to help a young quarterback than by surrounding him with weapons? I'm not against that. I just don't know if that's going to be the play. I also don't know where, you know, he could be very much available pick 32. And if you get a good tackle in the first pick, 17, you go to 32, he's still there. Absolutely, I'd do that. But again, these drafts are hard to predict. You can sort of think about who's there, but they're going to have a list of good tackles, inside linebackers, corners, and wide receivers available to them. Thanks for the call, Mr. Jerome. Let's go out to Anthony in Oakland. Anthony, center stage to you.
Bob, I'm in the result-oriented business, in fact-based business. And statistically, there was no justification to bring back Matt Canada. And I know it's become repetitive at this point, but there's just no explanation for it. Especially the past 4 years, Bob, their offense has been pedestrian at best. And you know, Tomlin, who's this defensive guru, he has that in place. Imagine if you were competitive with the 49ers and the Chiefs and Buffalo, what kind of team we'd have here. So you would think you want to bolster that side of your team. But to give us Canada all over again, while experts in the offensive realm says this guy's amateurish at best, absolutely makes no sense.
The only thing I can, you know, base it on for their point of view is the fact that offense got better as the year went on, and they're willing. Plus, he has a year left on a contract. I think that did factor into it, like it or not. I think that's a reality of that situation. But yes, this next coming year will be. So you're telling me you don't buy what players say, you don't buy what Kenny Pickett says, and I know people out there think, well, he's just towing the company line. But do you really think he's had a long relationship with that guy? He didn't have to go as effusive as he did with his praise.
Bob, he didn't have a long relationship with the guy. The guy was there when he first, but his first season.
I know, but he recruited him. He was, and he went, and he got to know him very well, you know, back in that whole process is what I'm saying.
And he had better success with Mark Whipple. So, hey, maybe we should have brought Mark Whipple in. No, Bob, look, this isn't just all Canada. It's going back to 2019. We can understand what happened then. Ben got hurt and you had to make adjustments. But you are not the name of the game is being competitive and make it to be competitive against the better teams. You're not going to be competitive when you have 12 passing touchdowns. AB's last year, he had 15 by himself.
No, I know. They had 28 total as an offense. It's not good. And you got to score points in that. I totally agree with that. Totally. Anthony, I'm not defending this because I thought they'd make a change. But what I am saying is they've made their choice. And so you got to read into it whatever you can because it's hard to get any information. The only thing I can gather is that they believe they're heading in the right direction. And if you don't see significant improvement down the field and with, you know, those chunk plays that they need, I think their longest touchdown pass was 31 yards, longest of the whole year. And they only had like how many over 30 yards total. Not many. You can't survive. I don't care how good your defense is in this NFL without that sort of quick strike ability.
Well, you would have thought Mr. Rooney and some of the behind the scenes investors would say, "Look, when we played the good teams, they wiped the floor with the Pittsburgh Steelers because you could not keep up with them." So if that's the type of football you want, which resembles the early 60s when he was a young whippersnapper like me, then okay, I don't. I like the Killer Bees. I love the Killer Bees. That was beautiful to me. You know, they were scoring and they could compete. If you got behind by two touchdowns, that wasn't nothing to the Killer Bees. You get behind by one touchdown, and I'm already in the kitchen making sandwiches, getting ready for the 4:30 game.
I got you, Anthony. You make
all
good
right,
points
Bob.
Always.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. You have a good weekend. But the decision's made, and now we have to judge it accordingly. I do think there is some thought, maybe, that they will bring in a pass game coordinator. That's something that has happened more and more in the NFL. They may need stuff like that. You know, it's good to have the run game working. I'm encouraged by that. I think you can sort of dovetail off of that with better plays. down the field that should make it more available to you with a good run game. But we will see. They have a lot of offseason things to take care of. The first one was that one. And now it's about trying to find some free agents and looking at their draft. I think they can spend some money this year, too. It's always good to have a rookie quarterback. We're back with more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Our show is brought to you by number one Cochran. Go one better. Ride in style. And shop Expressway with Cochran.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Great place to watch sporting events today. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. PNC Bank, PNC. Make today the day. Want to get into a little bit last night. The Penguins, they won a game largely because their goaltender was outstanding. He stole a game. We hear that a lot. We haven't heard a lot so much this year. But a hypothetical question for you. If Tristan Jarry returns and is healthy and they go into the playoffs with him playing the way he's capable, and last night he had to make 46 saves. I was shocked that Ottawa got 47 shots on goal, but it's a good young team. They got some playmakers. The only goal that got by him was by Brady Tkachuk, who's one of the top. I'd like that guy on my team, boy. He just can do it all. And anytime you get a Tkachuk, you know what the bloodlines are there. So, you know, he won games. If he plays at that level with this team, I know this team has had issues, very erratic up and down inconsistencies, but if you get that kind of goaltending in a playoff series, it can go a long way and it can help. But the Penguins obviously need to tighten things up. There's no question about that. But that was a good win for them. They rebounded from a loss in Ottawa. Against a good up-and-coming team. They're not there yet, but they will be eventually, and they're clinging on to a second wild card. They got to make sure they continue to pick up points here against the next several teams they have on their schedule, because there are some winnable games on that schedule. Pitt today coming up at 2:30. It's Pitt and Florida State. Leonard Hamilton team, always physical, always lengthy, always a problem for those who can't rebound, and Pitt has had a problem rebounding a little bit this year, especially on the offensive glass. They need to do better. The good thing about them is guys like Jamarius Burton and you know, Nike Sabandi, Nelly Cummings, Greg Elliott, all have been good from long distance and the foul line. They lead the ACC in 3 shot points attempted, which is surprising to me. I didn't think that was a team was going to do that, but they are, and they're also making a lot of foul shots, which is anti-Pitt normally. Pitt's normally missing foul shots. They're making a lot of foul shots. So hopefully that'll continue, and they'll get to 7 wins today. It'd be a nice win. I mean, they came within 1 point of beating Clemson undefeated. And they could have won that game. They lost to Duke, even though they dominated the first half against the Blue Devils. And the inside game and the rebounding really got to them. Filipowski's a big issue for any team, I think, in the ACC of Duke. 412-928-9370. Those are some of the leftover items. Let's go to Dave in the car. Hey, Dave, what's going on? How are you today?
Hey, Bob. Just a question, or, you know, I totally understand the Matt Canada argument. Need to upgrade the offense coordinator. But the one thing that kind of drives me a little crazy, you can help me out here, Bob, why isn't anybody talking about the defense coordinator, Brian Flores? Anytime they get into a shootout, they get totally blown away against the Eagles.
Well, first of all, he's not the defensive coordinator. He has
why isn't anybody talking about, like, how the defense has underperformed year after year, $108 million, guaranteed to the players, and the defense coordinator never comes up. Like, why aren't we talking about getting rid of that guy?
Well, it has reared its ugly head in a couple of games that really should have not happened, and I agree there. A lot of culpability to the Jets game where they couldn't stop Zach Wilson, who now is who knows what he is in New York, but he ripped them apart in the fourth quarter. And then the New England game where they could not get off the field and New England kept running it right down their throats. Two different kind of things that they could have changed the outcomes of those games. So, yes,
right.
They are. But you know how it is. Game? When you have an offense that only scores 17, 18 points a game, that's where all the attention will go. You know,
right.
Offensive coordinators, there are 8 offensive coordinator jobs open. Greg Roman's another one that's kind of surprised me in Baltimore, because they've been what they are. They are the number one run attack in the NFL year in and year out. And even without Lamar Jackson, they were. That's what he brings to the table. And then all of a sudden he gets, I don't know if it's mutual, but he's gone. I liked what he did there because of what they had. The personnel dictated what he had to do, and he did. Now they have no receivers. If you're expecting a receiver game, blame the GM. All right, Dave, anything else? All right, thank you for the call. Ed joins us in Kennedy Township. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Hey, Bobby, if you have a chance to start Trevor Bauer in your first game, not pay any money. Are you going to make that move?
I missed the beginning of what you said. Say it again.
Trevor Bauer, the Dodgers are going to eat $27 million contract. The players in L.A. are very ticked off about that. If you had a chance to get him and not have to pay anything, would you do it?
Probably, yes. I mean, teams have gone out of their guys with baggage all over sports. All you have to do is look at Cleveland to know that Deshaun Watson. What's that?
Give him a couple prospects.
He hasn't pitched in a couple of years. I'd have to do my due diligence on him. He's a Cy Young contender when he's healthy. He's very good. But I'd have to do more work on where he is, where they are. I'd investigate it for sure. I should investigate all guys who are now eligible to be acquired. But that's what I would do. I would look into it. Again, I think his situation is a bad situation, and it led him being suspended for a long period of time. But Deshaun Watson somehow got through all of this, and he's now with a team in the National Football League, despite everything that he was accused of doing. So if they're out there, if they can help you, I would definitely, if I'm in charge of a team, I would investigate all aspects of it. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call. But listen, the Pirates are a different team right now. That won't necessarily help them right now. It would make them better. They need to have their guys in their system. They have enough guys. Priester's a guy I would expect to come up. You want Ronzi Contreras to be more of what you saw. You need Mitch Keller to be the ace. He was supposed to be that a little earlier than he is, but he's developing into that potentially. They need these young guys to do it at affordable contracts for now and then build on that. And once you see enough to make you commit to him, you should commit to him. And I think that's how they do business. They've stockpiled a lot of people, all potential. What will that potential turn into? We here in Pittsburgh have been jaded by the fact that it never seems to develop at this level. You get excited about guys they bring into their system. Brian Reynolds was one they acquired in the McCutchen trade. You can actually say they won that trade because Brian Reynolds has been better than Andrew McCutchen since that trade happened. But you have to come up with guys in your system that make sense and will develop quickly. And if they do, you can have a team that turns a corner quickly. If you don't, then you're going to still continue to struggle and still continue to, trade players to get more and more and more. And then you got to hope how many of them can develop into major league players. That's where they are. I'm hopeful that they see those kinds of results this year because they have a lot of talent. They do have talent. There's no question. At the catching department, they brought in Hedges. He's just here for a little bit. He is a caretaker until either Rodriguez or Henry Davis. That's the guy who needs to be in their lineup by the end of this year, hitting, doing all those things. He's a number one pick. What was it? First overall, correct, Joel, right? You would expect a guy like that to make immediate impact as a number one overall pick. And they're going to get another one this coming summer. So they got that has to turn into an immediate impact guy. So we'll see what they do. In the meantime, they've brought in a lot of veteran guys. Choi at first base is a veteran. He can help you better than what they've had. They bring in Carlos Santana. I don't know if he's ever going to be what he once was, same as McCutchen, but he's the veteran guys who can certainly help in the intangible department. I think there is there's stuff there that can make younger guys appreciate work ethic better. And maybe they don't. Maybe they need people like that around, veteran guys who've been through that. We'll see. But I want to see results. I'm tired of watching just potential all the time. I got to see results. It makes it a lot better. And when they do that, that's still the best promotion you can get. You can tell me all you want about McCutchen will sell tickets. He will. He's that guy. He was the face of the franchise. He will sell tickets. They'll make their money back, $5 million, just on his ticket sales. But what ultimately drives people to go is the bigness of the event. People love events, especially in this city. They love big things. They want to go to big things. They want to be part of something. You saw it in 13, 14, and 15. That's what they need to see. Hopefully we'll see it sooner rather than later. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochrane shop. Expressway 24-7 with expressway at cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Shendorovich and Fishman and Ireland Contracting as well. 412-928-9370 is the number to call as we round third head home. Got a green light from Joey Cora. Will we make it or not? How about Reed Megleton on Twitter at KD Pomp says, what if this year isn't a one-year wonder, but rather Jeff Capel proves to be a master of the transfer portal? Pitt could be relevant every year. Well, the transfer portal is an interesting thing. When you become too reliant on it, and if things don't go well, as they, you know, they've used transfers before and it hasn't worked. This crop has worked. Six of their regulars are transfer portal guys, and I guess that's the way it's going to be every year. Boy, the dramatic change going on when it comes to, you know, how these things are used is really significant. All right, Joel, I teased this. I want to get to it before I get to Allen in Alabama. I want some numbers from you. And if you had to make this bet, will a wild card team make the Super Bowl? We've had that happen each of the past 5 years. Will a wild card team, a team that played last weekend, make it to the Super Bowl?
I'd like our chances on that one.
All right, so you say yes.
Yes.
Will any game go to overtime this weekend? Yes or no? And if you had to make the bet?
Yes, Cincinnati and Buffalo.
You think it's overtime?
Yes.
Highest scoring game, which will it be? Jacksonville, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Giants, Eagles, Dallas, San Francisco.
I think it's going to be this first one here today, Jacksonville with Kansas City.
All right, lowest scoring game.
Giants in Philadelphia tonight.
I would agree with that one. I do.
It feels
like a run game. Like they're going to do a lot of Saquon Barkley and Jones running versus Jalen Hurts running and Miles Sanders as well.
Feels like one of those games where neither team will get to 30 points.
All right, here's the last one I'm going to give you before I go back to the phone lines. And this is an interesting one. Most receiving yards in this weekend, the division round playoffs. So you have a lot of guys to choose from. I'm just going to go down a list of names. You tell me a name that you think will have the most receiving yards. All right, Ja'Marr Chase, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelce, C.D. Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Gabe Davis, T. Higgins, Christian Kirk, George Kittle.
That's a really tough list.
I'm going to give you a name that's not on the list.
Devontae Smith?
Devontae Smith is not on my list, but that's not who I was going to take. But that's a good pick, actually. I was going to go with Zay Jones.
I like that
pick. I have a
feeling
that Zay Jones...
He's had some good games this year.
He has. So interesting. You could bet on just about everything. Not that I would do it, but it's fun to talk about anyway.
I'll say Stephon Diggs gets the most yards.
Really?
Among the players you listed, yeah.
I would look for If I had a... Kelsey's a guy that...
Kelce is a really
Nobody ever
one.
Has an answer for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
You know, you could zone him up. You could do a lot of different things. He somehow figures out how to do it. He could beat corners. He can beat inside linebackers. He beats everybody.
And the Chargers tight end, Everett, went for over 100 yards
last Saturday. He's not playing this time, so sorry for him. But you're right. All right, let's go out to Allen in Alabama, joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Allen? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. It's always an honor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Calling from Hoover, Alabama, home of George Pickens, of course.
All right.
Born and raised in Pittsburgh, but we live in the backyard of the high school stadium where he played his high school football. So that's something interesting. But I wanted to hit on the Matt Canada thing. I know that people are sort of wearing this one out, but I have a little bit of an alternative opinion. And I'm pro Coach Tomlin and Steelers. You know, I know they make some mistakes and whatever, and I was a little skeptical about keeping Matt Canada. But I'll tell you this. At least it adds something to this upcoming season, and this is what it adds. Everyone is out of excuses. If they could have brought Bill Walsh back from the grave and made him the offensive coordinator, and if things were, you know, tough in the beginning, people would say, you know, maybe it's not a good fit or it's going to take time to learn the playbook. There are no excuses. You know, it was 2019 and Doc and Mason and Ben's old the last couple of seasons and he's not mobile and he's not a match. And then you have a rookie and, you know, he's learning and everything. And there's Tomlin and Cowers players and can he win without a Hall of Fame quarterback? That all is gone. And I'm telling you, if there's a football with field paint on it, all hell's going to break loose, you know, in that first game of the season. So I think it's going to hold them accountable. I think they're going to have to be better than they were. And I think they were getting better as the year went on. I think we all sort of saw that. I do think if they could bring somebody in to sort of help as an advisor or whatever, that would be a good thing. But no excuses next year. There's nothing that anyone can say.
I agree. You're far enough along. And, again, it would coincide with the end of Matt Canada's contract because he has 1 year left. So at that point, they would make a decision, and they'd be forced to make a decision. This one, they didn't necessarily have to. They could have. But they chose not to, citing the way that offense performed in the second half. And I will say this about the offense in the second half. Again, it's unpopular to talk this way because people just don't want to talk this way. They'd rather talk about, you know, first of all, they're all young guys. If you look at the skill guys, I'm encouraged by this. Pickett's 24. Harris is 24. Jaylen Warren, they discovered. Diamond in the Rough is 24. Pickens is 21. Sims is 25. Freiermuth's 24. Hayward's 23. All these guys are going to be around for a while, and 1 year should really have helped them quite a bit. But here's the thing that they made this decision, I'm sure, even though I haven't talked to anyone over there officially about it. Their first 8 games versus their last 9 games. The last 9 games, they averaged 21 points a game. Their passer rating was among the best in the AFC. 146 rushing yards per game. That was the tops in their conference. And 54.3% on third down. They were only 31% on third down in the first 8 games. And they made a ton of turnovers. Things, you know, they limited turnovers. They took, you know, all that's good. But you still, the one thing that is missing, and it has to change, is the down-the-field quick strike ability. You have to have players. And they do have players, I think, specifically the man from your hometown over there, where you're living now. He's the guy who has to be targeted more. He was one of the top guys in terms of, you know, catches over 25 yards. So, therefore, he has to be targeted more, and they need more of that sort of play in their game.
And they have to finish drives.
Well, that's the other thing.
They're doing it.
Finish it with
they're
touchdowns.
They're doing it well. They've got to finish drives.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it, Alan. Thanks, all of us down in Alabama. I'm sure people in Alabama think the Crimson Tide got screwed. They should have been in the Final Four based on how some of that worked out. But I've talked to enough Ohio State people who are mad that they didn't even get they blew it. They had a chance. They're going to knock Georgia out. They would have been there. But that's why you play the games. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Paul Zeiss is coming up. He'll take you to 2:30. 2:30, we have the network pregame show of Pitt, Florida State. The Panthers will tip off at 3 against a Seminole team that is getting better. They started 1-9. Big crucial game for them. They have to win these games at home, especially. They're 6-2 now. People are talking about March Madness. And they've gone from 11th seed potentially to a 9th seed. Hey, Joel, if you're just guessing, let's say they end up with 10 ACC, and that would suggest they're going to lose some games here, but 10 ACC wins during the regular season. They go to the tournament, win 2 more. That gives them 12. They end up with 21 wins. Are they a tournament team?
Can't say why not.
What seed would you give them? I mean, 21 wins, 12 in conference. That's, even though it's not as good this year, it's still a well-respected conference in the ACC.
Does that earn them a
I'd say
7 seed?
Okay. Yeah, I'd say something like that, 7 or 8 seed. And they can actually do better than that with some. If they had beaten Clemson and Duke, because they were in a position to do both, can you imagine if they were 8-0?
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Can you imagine the
Wouldn't
attention?
Wouldn't that be incredible?
And I'd love to see the Peterson Event Center get back to what it was when everything was going great. It was one of the hottest tickets to get. And Jeff Capel and company are working their way back to you, babe. All right, we're going to sign off here. I want to first tell you about our sponsors. Once again, thank you to all of them. Number one, Cochran, PNC Bank, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting. Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Start of the new year with a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle online, sunchevy.com. Today, cloudy. High of 36. Tonight, cloudy. Low of 26. Tomorrow, cloudy. High of 37. Tomorrow night, cloudy. You see the theme here. It's a typical January day, but we're not getting snow yet, although there is potentially some coming up on Monday, Ray Petland told me the other day. So watch out for that. And boy, we haven't had any snow whatsoever. We're going to get some at some point. Hopefully, it won't come all in once like, you know, they'd have in Buffalo from time to time when they get snowed in for 4 days. Oh, man. That's a hard place to live. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Our thanks to Joel Nelson on the other side. Appreciate that, Joel. Paul Zeiss is coming up next. I'm Bob Pompiani. Join us tomorrow for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown, KDK 1135, after the late news. And you guys have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next Saturday.